This is the Pitch Vision Academy show number 91. This is the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week's show is an interview with global bat makers Gray Nichols, where I find out how to buy a bat and how to look after it. So let's get on with the interview, recorded at the Bat Factory this week. Okay, so we're at the Gray Nichols Bat Factory in East Sussex in Roberts Bridge, and I'm joined by Ian Ellis, who works for Gray Nichols. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
So for the uninitiated, can you tell us a little bit about Gray Nichols?
Gray Nichols is one of the leading bat manufacturers in the world. We supply our goods to everyone over the entire world, UK, Europe, even America. We have factories in Australia, South Africa, and here in East Sussex.
And it's a busy market to be in, the bat and cricket equipment making market. How does Gray Nichols stand out?
With step ahead with them in all your products, not just bats, but pads and gloves. You have to have the edge over the competitors. What can you provide that's better than your sort of competitors, really? That also goes down with your endorsees as well, who uses your gear, who you see on TV. They have to be top players that people can aspire to be and relate to. Along with that, your marketing campaign has to be something that's also top-notch as well. So the exposure of the gear, not just on the TV, but in magazines, even catalogues, and just generally in shops as well, that will help you rise to the top.
So tell us a bit about your bats. If you're thinking of someone who's a club player, maybe a school player, and they're going into a shop and they're looking at the ranges of bats, what type of things should they look out for when they're choosing a bat?
The main things to look out for when you're choosing a bat is, first of all, the weight. The weight has to be perfect for yourself. You don't want a bat too heavy, and you don't want a bat too light. It has to be perfect. When you pick it up, you feel very confident of playing cross-batted shots and also driving the ball. So the weight is a very important aspect of choosing a bat, because it gives you the confidence to play all your shots. If you get a bat that's too heavy and you can't hook, pull or cut, and they're your main strengths, then it's not going to help you at all in your game. Also, you've got to think about the balance of the bat as well. Also, you've got to think about the grade that you're going to have. Grades go in price points. The most popular ones that we sell, really, they normally tend to have sort of 6 to 10 grains, reasonably straight, but they all tend to ping in the sort of mid to low blade areas. That's another thing going on to what bats, where the majority of the weight is, where the meat is, because some bats have a low middle, some bats have a mid-blade sweet spot. So if you were a back foot player, you'd end up with normally a mid-blade bat, so you can pick it up quite easily and play off the back foot. If you're predominantly a front foot player, then a lower middle would also be beneficial for you. Depending on where you play as well, also would determine what sort of bat you have. If you play sort of subcontinent where the bat ball doesn't get up very much, a low middle is perfect. The edges, the edge profile, people go for a lot of large edge profiles at the moment because you get a lot of purchase off your edge shots now. They're not just caught in the slips, they tend to go for six, especially with 2020 cricket. People are going a bit larger with their bat weights now. It used to be sort of 2.5, 2.6, 2.7 when I first started here. Now it's going up to about 2.8, 2.9, 2.10. Big bats, big profile, big hitting.
Let's talk a little bit about the willow and the differences that you get in different types of willow. Obviously, the more you pay, the better the quality of the willow becomes. But how does that make a difference when you're actually batting?
Gives you if you get a top piece of willow, you have better rebound qualities. What we call it's ping. The ball travels much faster off the bat. It gives you, the batsman, a lot more confidence to play your shots. You get a lot more purchase for your shots, and invariably you score more runs.
You mentioned grains there as well. What difference does the number of grains make to the performance of the bat?
There's all sorts of theories. Players will tell you the more grains the better. The bat makers have a theory that a wider grain is slightly sort of harder and narrower grain is slightly softer, and then there's differences with the redwood. The bat makers tend to not use the redwood at the top quality, whereas the players would light redwood. There's all sorts of fashions out there at the moment where grains have to be nice and tight and close together, and obviously straight, which they should be anyway, but there's all sorts of theories on redwood as well being on the outside. I think when it comes to choosing a bat, because it's a very sort of bespoke thing for an individual, I think the main fundamental things you should look for is straight grain, and for the bat to pick up well, and for the bat to ping off the middle. They're the three main major things. There's no point in having a bat with 20 grains and you're not being able to hit the ball off the square.
And most bats now come with a bow in the blade. What's the advantage of that?
Basically, the bow comes in the bat when it's pressed for the second time. So it's pressed as a cleft, and it's pressed as a bat. And the bow basically just compresses the fibres. It gives you natural sort of elevation on the ball if you wish to hit the ball in the air. But it's something that's, again, it's another fashionable thing which coming from India. The Indians and the Pakistanis and the Sri Lankans love a large bow in the bat. It's something that pleases the eye, really, rather than any actual technical functions towards it, really.
And there's a lot of innovations going on as well. There's bats with much smaller blades and much longer handles. What are Grey Nichols doing on those innovation side of things?
Well, we've always been quite innovative with our products. We've had grooves, we had the scoop, the Dyna Drive, the Mega Drive. The Ziphos has a small sort of edge corridor, so it takes a bit of weight out of the pickup. But last year we did the Dual 20 bat, which Dave Warner used in a couple of internationals, where you can actually hit the ball quite successfully on both sides of the bat, aiding the reverse sweep, reverse paddle, even the reverse pull, or just general switch hitting. So that was a big thing for us where the innovative market was concerned. We've brought in a new product, which is will be released probably November, December, called the Edge. So look out for the Edge, because that is quite different from anything you'll see. It's something that's a bit like a Marmite, really. Either love it or you hate it. It's a bit like the T20 bat. You either love it or you hate it. Obviously, there's Mongoose at the moment. They're doing their spliced handle, which... smaller blade but a longer handle, and we might be sort of challenging that with a model that we made in 1983 called the Volcano. We might be bringing that back to life, but in a more sort of futuristic version, 2010, 2011, where the bat's got a very large profile, a long handle, so the lever, the general leverage, will help you hit the ball out of the park, and hopefully we're going to have some guys using it at the end of this year.
So the smaller blade does make a difference to the power from what you've seen?
I think the leverage of the handle gives you the long handle effect, but it has a disadvantage as well, because you can't really play short bowling off the back foot unless you're going to hook or pull. Again, it's, some people like it, some people don't. It's nothing that was something we would try and mimic, but we're obviously going to try and produce a new Volcano, which does have the sloping shoulders, but that we used in 2020 primarily.
Let's talk about something which nobody particularly likes doing, and there's a lot of conflicting advice about, but it's something that always seems to need to be done somewhere, knocking the bat in. What type of advice have you got for people to knock their bats in properly?
People have got very lazy recently with knocking bats in, because they think the Extratec cover, which we put on the bat, does the job for them. If you do knock the bat in, it will make the bat generally better over a period of weeks, and it will enlarge in the sweet spot as well. By hitting the bat with a mallet or a ball in sock, then you're basically getting the bat prepared for general use. There are several players on the circuit that still do that and still look after their bats sort of very, very closely by making sure the linseed oil is applied both sides of the bats. The toes are dipped in a sort of resin, so the toes are stronger. It's something that's... largely done in the subcontinent, especially with the Indian team, the Sri Lankan team. They often employ the changing room staff to do that, and they'll spend 2 or 3 hours in every bat every morning until the player is satisfied with it. So it's something that's done more often in the subcontinent rather than sort of in England, Australia, and New Zealand, and West Indies.
Is there a minimum amount of time you should be knocking a bat in for, or does it vary, or how long are we talking? That's the question, really.
Normally, the sort of standard is 4 to 5 hours, but I think you'll basically know when it's ready to go, and you'll know when your arm's near going to drop off, so when it's time to stop. But it's generally 4 to 5 hours when it comes to linseeding a bat. It's a small covering over the face. and you leave it for a day to dry on a slight angle, and then you can apply it two or three times after that. So, but making sure it's dry every time before you oil it.
What about tips on making the batter last and keeping it going?
The less you edge the ball. If you're going to look after your bat and maintain it, it's always good to sort of inspect your bat. If you think there's a crack or think there's a sort of hairline fracture through the handle, it's advisable not to play on. You need to get it refurbed. Greenickel's always refurb anyone's bat. They repair anyone's bat from handles to toe cracks to general face wear and tear. It's like an MOT, really. You can get it done once a year or once every 2 years. It saves you purchasing a bat every year, and a lot of batsmen get quite close to their bats and they don't want to change it because they're quite used to using it. So service that we do here is really good for that sort of thing. I think you can also look after the bat yourself by generally sanding down the face of your bat and reapplying oil. But if you feel that it needs a bit more skilled attention, then it's always good to send it back to us at Greenickel's here, and we'll have a look at it and give you a professional opinion.
And finally, if people are interested in finding out more about Greenickel's, when is the new range coming out?
The new range is available sort of October, November. You'll probably first see some of the gear used in action, probably the third, fourth test match against Pakistan. But when the Ashes starts, the likes of Cook and Strauss, Cameron White, Marsh, Hussey, they'll all be using the new gear. So you'll be able to see that on the Greenickel's website, available for sale probably the first couple of weeks before Christmas. So there's some exciting new innovations out there, some nice sort of colourways, and some good gear for you guys to use.
What's the Greenickel website? If you want to look it up.
www.grey-nickels.co.uk.